Since Balaam's eyes needed to be opened before he could see the angel blocking his way that his donkey saw, since the Lord had to open the eyes of Elisha's servant before he could see a mountain full of angelic horses and chariots, so it's not strange that we need to have our eyes open when we read of Michael and his angels fighting the devil and his. Open our eyes so we may rightly see war in heaven. Heaven is mentioned 54 times in Revelation. Only Matthew mentions it more with 84. It's true that that word, Greek word, can mean the sky, the realm of stars and planets, or the abode of God. But since the end result of this war is that the devil and his angels are hurled to the earth, and yet even after this event, Paul calls Satan the ruler of the kingdom of the air, it seems heaven here is the very abode of God. Heaven is where angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven are evermore praising God. Yet, there's war. Admittedly, this is a vision, a physical picture that men understand, but it's about spiritual things. Still, there was a time when Satan was free to come and go into heaven with all the other angels. The book of Job, that's no vision, no allegory. When we read in Job 1:6-7, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then, after Satan has seen to the destruction of Job's 10 kids, the loss of all his livestock and many servants, Satan goes into heaven again. Job 2:1-2. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Well, then read Zechariah 3:1-5. That is a vision. Here we see Satan standing before the angel of the Lord and doing what our text says he always does. Indeed, what he's doing in Job 1 and 2, accusing men of their sins. What gave Satan the right to go in and out of God's holy abode was God's holy word and our sinfulness. Satan had rebelled before the fall of Eden and had been sent into the eternal fires of hell that the Lord had prepared for the devil and all his angels. But when mankind fell, that didn't happen. Men lost the right to eat from the tree of life, and God's good creation went sour on him. But rather than banish all mankind to hell, the holy God didn't enforce his holy word. Indeed, he passed over our transgressions. God was in the same pickle parents find themselves in when promising punishment for this or that, but then they choose not to mete it out. Another child can and will bring that up, accusing his sibling night and day for that unpunished misdeed. And he'll say to you, "You promised, you said, you have to, you must." And so the war in heaven went on. So how does Michael end up throwing Satan down to earth, out of heaven? Open our eyes, that we might see how the devil and his angels are overcome. The short answer is by Jesus. In Passion Week, Christ speaks of his upcoming death and asks that the Lord might glorify his name. The Father boomed from heaven saying, "I have and I will glorify it." And Jesus says in response, "Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out." The gospel reading reports of the first 72 pastors coming back from preaching the gospel and how the demons submitted in Jesus' name. And Jesus answered, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Jesus says, in reality, what our text shows us in pictures. What gets the devil thrown out of heaven, in heart, home, and life for that matter, is the proclaimed gospel. Connect the dots. The devil and his angels being thrown out of heaven and no longer being able to accuse sinners like you before God's throne is connected to the death of Jesus and the preaching of the gospel. The Greek for accuser is the rabbinic Hebrew kategor. the rabbis called Michael the advocate of God's people, Sunagor, which is advocate. How, though? In Jesus, God no longer passed over sins and sinners. Jesus, God's only Son, confessed to being guilty of the world's sins, and on him purposely, methodically, and completely, God punished every sin of sinners of all time. The picture is of a wronged man at long last punishing his mortal enemy for all the harm he inflicted on him. God the Father is out of breath, out of wrath, out of rage, when on Good Friday the Son says, "It is finished." The reality is depicted in the pictures of our text. The devil lost his standing in heaven because he has no word of God to appeal to. God meted out all of his promised punishments, sins and sinners. He meted that out on Jesus. And in Jesus, there's no unkept law anywhere that Satan can use to accuse anyone. And so we've overcome him. We've conquered him, says our text, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. The blood of the Lamb refers to the objective fact, as John records them, the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Those are the objective facts. The word of our testimony is the subjective side whereby we lay claim to Jesus' holy life and guilty death individually. This is Romans 10:10 theology. It is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Under the blood, in Jesus' blood, claiming his blood and righteousness, the devil cannot find fault in us, so we conquer him. Now comes the tough part. When we open our eyes, and it's still pitch black. This is where we look at the fact that if we've overcome, if we're more than conquerors, as Paul says in Romans 8, why are we so beaten down? Pursued hither and thither, even at the end of Revelation 12:17, pictures us. There, the devil is enraged at the Lord's church. He goes off to make war against her, but she's hidden from him. As you know, the Holy Christian Church is invisible. That enrages the dragon further, so he goes off to make war against her seed. How does he recognize her children? They are the ones who observe God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord, so that we might see and not be discouraged at the war that's going on today. It seems to me that the Rolling Stones and Don McLean were more attuned to this than many Christians. The devil has been around for a long, long time, and he certainly does laugh with delight when people dance to the tune of fear and despair that he calls. And isn't that what the text says? Woe to the earth and the sea because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Hear him roaring? That's what 1 Peter 5:8 says he does. The devil roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger and seeking to seize upon and devour someone. A lion's roar can be heard 5 miles away and reaches the decibel level that causes humans pain. Live with the devil's roar in your ears, but not in your heart. Lutherans live with this contradiction. In a sermon less than a year before he died, Luther preached, "One devil has Saxony," these are political districts, "one devil has Saxony, another Brandenburg, another the Turks. Wherever the children of Adam dwell, they are under the devil because they swarm over us in the air." But in his 1535 lectures, or earlier than this, on Galatians, which is a confessional document for us, he cites Colossians 2:15, saying, "He disarmed the principalities and powers, triumphing over them in him." Luther then comments, "Therefore they can no longer harm the believers." Now that brings up two questions. Do we dwell in heaven or on the earth and sea that the devil has gone down to? And question number two, what is harm? Revelation 12:12 says those who dwell in heaven can rejoice at the devil's defeat. It uses the word tabernacle to pitch a tent. Revelation 11:10 says, those who literally are housed permanently on earth rejoice when the gospel messengers are slain. This is the same divide that you see in the book of Ecclesiastes between those who dwell under the sun and those who dwell under God. Paul is plain in Colossians 3:1-3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with God in Christ. We walk, pass through this realm of woe to which the devil and his angels have come down to make such trouble. We pass through it. We don't dwell here, but with God in Christ. But nevertheless, the devil and his demons swarm over us, wreaking much havoc, pain, and fear. It's as we confess in a mighty fortress, devils all the world fill, eager to devour us. The world's prince scowls at us fiercely, but he can harm us none, we say. And then what do we sing? Take they our life, our goods, fame, child, and wife. Let these all be gone. They yet have nothing won. Really? You don't even have to take my life, just make it sick. Same is true for child and wife. They don't have to be gone, but just hurt. And I feel like I've lost. Or have I? Jesus promises the 72, behold, I have forever given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing in any way will harm you. Well, God can't lie. Jesus, God the Son, can't lie. Psalm 91, the one that promises angelic protection, explains, 1,000 may fall on your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Does any soul carried to heaven in angel arms think that it's harmed or lost in any way? Open our eyes, O Lord, to see this and so much more. Open our eyes to see what that loud voice in heaven says is the reality right now. The loud voice in the epistle lesson says, now God's salvation has come. Now God has shown his power as king. Now his Messiah has shown his authority. Angels cover their faces at this sight because it is too wonderful for even their eyes. Amen. Now the peace of God that passeth all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.